Good evening. The time is 8 p.m. Kilo, Yankee, 4, Oscar, Papa, connected to W4VA. Kilo, Yankee, 4, Oscar, Papa, disconnected. Kilo, Yankee, 4, Oscar, Papa, connected to W4VA. Kilo, Yankee, 4, Oscar, Papa, disconnected.
Severe thunderstorm watch.
Kilo, Yankee, 4, Oscar, Papa, connected to W4VA.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is WD8QCN activating the Lockyer Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion, questions and answers regarding technical topics such as equipment, hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and similar information related to the radio art. I don't have a topic selected for this evening since it's not my regular night, but if anyone has a idea for discussion tonight, please call WD8QCN now.
K1HTV.
K1HTV. Go ahead, Rich.
K1HTV. Good evening. NB3A, Justin had mentioned a possible topic to discuss, and that is egress of antenna wire cabling into the building. So what's the best way to get coax cables, control cables?
Updated weather information. Severe thunderstorm watch.
Ooh, that's a good one. Thanks for that, Rich. We'll run with that tonight. All right, let me clear the desk here. Do we have any news or other announcements for the net this evening before we go into our technical discussion? Please call WD8QCN. All right, I haven't gone down the list and picked out all the latest club meetings and so forth, so please check the website for those. I'm sure there are lots of things coming up here with Field Day coming up in June. The VE test session at the Field Day site and so forth. So again, please check the website for that information. Talking about coax ingress into buildings, coax and control cables and things of that nature. I have for several years now been using the aluminum siding, or actually steel siding on my house here, up under the overhang in the back of the house. There's a panel that sticks out about 18 inches, and it just happens to be perfect to punch little holes in and put end connectors or UHF connector feed-throughs in, and that has worked wonderfully in this particular house. Other folks may have more difficulty doing that, may need to try to drill through walls and things of that nature in order to route cables. I know MFJ also makes a window feed-through device that you can expand out and kind of stick it in your storm window and kind of drop it down on top of it and kind of keeps it there and does a reasonable job of sealing out the elements. So there are a number of ways that folks can do that. When we get to check-ins here, let's see what other suggestions we come up with. So that said, let's go and take a round of check-ins, and then we'll go ahead and collect comments here. Anyone wishing to check in to the FAR Sunday Night Technical Service Net, if I can get my tongue untied, please call WD8QCN now.
NB3A.
7IBB.
1HTV, if you don't have me down already.
W4RKU.
I think there's someone on EchoLink, too.
KY4OP via EchoLink.
KN4SPL, in and out.
WD7RAB. KO4VNZ, in and out.
All right, let's pause there for a moment. I have K1HTV Rich, NB3A, and 7IVV, he's in Brad, W4RKU. I think I heard AK4GG in there as well. There was a double there, so if I missed you, please call again. KY4OP on Echolink, KM4SPL, WE7RAB, and KO4VNZ. Do we have any other check-ins or any corrections? Please call now. Okay, we'll run with that bunch here. K1HTV, since you were first in, Rich, and brought up the topic, why don't you give us your take on coax and cable entry?
Yeah, this is K1HTV. Good evening, all. And again, it's Justin's question posted on the reflector, and thought it might be a good to bring it up since Justin wasn't here in the very beginning. So before I hit that, solar flux is around 167 now. Conditions are still quite good on HF. Surprisingly, into the wee hours of the morning, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not unusual to hear 20, 17, even 15 open. I was on 15 and working into Asia at 1 o'clock in the morning. Just incredible conditions, and they should get better. Looking forward to everybody to show up at the Wegman Saturday for breakfast. If you want to join us, we'll be meeting on the second floor around 8:30, starting at 8:30 this coming Saturday. Regarding the cables, getting cables into the building, I have a shack in the basement, and my cables all come in from one direction, and they all come in at the back of the house, under the deck, above the cinder block. There's a, what do they call it? I don't say a sill, but there's a piece of wood, and then the foundation is on top of that, the various 2x6s or whatever, 4x6s or 2x6s are on top of that. Joyce, maybe you want to, I don't know the technical terms. But anyway, what I've done, I have mounted a steel box. It's about a foot by a foot with a steel plate on the front, held in place by a couple screws. And on the bottom and on the sides, I've used Greenlee punch to punch holes for UHF connectors, for N connectors, for F connectors, and other holes for control cables, rotator cables, etc. They all come into that box. The box is connected with a large gauge wire to the house perimeter ground system, and all the cables go into the box, are effectively grounded to a good ground before they even enter into the building. The hole is drilled into that piece of wood above the cinder block, and it enters, it apparently, if you look at the way the house is built, it actually is entering in above a drop ceiling. So all the cables come in literally above ceiling level. Then they come down into a corner of the room. They're rooted over a couple feet into the corner of the room, and then down and then over to the bench along with the ground system, with the ground wire. So everything comes in from the box. Everything is grounded even before it gets into the shack, and it works well. Eventually I will be boxing in the corner where the cables come down vertically from the ceiling level down to the floor level. That's the way I do it, and it seems to work. And I could make sure you drill enough holes or big enough holes so all the cables come in. I do have multiple cables coming in, 3/4-inch heliacs to the box, but when it comes into the shack, the biggest cables that come into the shack are typically LMR 400 size plus the control cables. And I have more comments on the control cables and rotator cables later. Back to net control, K1HTV.
Good stuff. Thanks, Rich. That's a very good description. And I like your idea of using the Greenlee punch. That's basically what I do as well here with the siding that hangs out there. And it's pretty thick stuff being steel siding. And it also kind of makes a good ground plate. I've got cable for cable TV, which is underground stuff that comes up and feeds through there. So I've got lots of ground attachments, other than the drop line down into the stake in the ground there. And grounding is another good conversation topic. Multi ground rods are a great idea, and not everyone does CAD welding to bond their ground wiring into the ground rods, but that's the best way of doing it. But those need to be inspected periodically if you're not. And multiple rods, 10-foot rods, 20 feet apart is the way to go, since you don't want the fields to overlap and interact. But great stuff all around. Let's jump over to NB3A, the man of the hour who asked the question. How are you doing this evening, Justin? And what would you like to add, or any additional questions you might want to ask? Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, and thanks for taking the net. This is NB3A. Thanks, Rich, for the quick answers. And you already said you'd follow up about control cables, because obviously my next question would have been what you're doing as far as how you're grounding those, like what you're using. Whether I've seen people in the past recommend using like spark plugs if you're feeding like ladder line through a wall or whatever. So anyway, curious what you're using for control cables and so forth. I digress. Yeah, so the right now I'm just running one of the TAN types of coax underneath a door, and when a storm such as what came through earlier this evening comes through, I have to disconnect the cable and throw it over by the wall. I'm obviously looking for something more permanent. I've got center block wall shacks in the basement, probably about 8 foot through where I would put the ingress. On the corner of the house, I don't have any qualms like punching through concrete, and I've seen some of the commercial offerings for products to pass coax through. Generally, those are like kind of done without breaking the coax, or in their cases, usually heliax, because you're using one of the Comscope or Andrew or whatever kits to bond the outer shields to your grounds without adding an extra connector. Anyway, yeah, so I guess I'm looking for something a bit more permanent, and what the best option is, I'm definitely in the camp of buy once, cry once, and I want to do it right the first time so I don't have to redo it later. So anyway, with that said, I'll turn it back over to Net. This is NB3A, not mobile.
All right, thanks for that, Justin, and we'll definitely throw it back to Rich at the end of the list here for more discussion on controls. Let's jump down to Brad, N7IVV, WD8QCN. How are you this evening, and how do you handle your cable entries?
WD8QCN, N7IVV, good evening. The best way to handle cables and any antenna work and radios is to simply do it when your wife is not looking. And you drill a big hole in the side of your house, and invariably end up having the hole be too small. I simply put a 2.5-inch hole, literally drilled it through the house, side of the house, and put PVC pipe in it with a 90-degree elbow on the outside, and that's weather tight. But I'm on the second floor. And so the coax comes in basically at floor level in the shack, and then it's up above the basement, which is basically it's a walkout basement. So the wires are up above ground level a little bit there. Anyway, so I just fish the wires through that, and of course the ground wire that grounds the whole shack and everything. So I'm just fishing raw coax through. I don't have any connectors that I'm connecting to or whatever. I have 10 pieces of coax and 3 control cables for rotators, and I'm now to the point that I cannot get anything more through that hole. So I may be looking at some sort of a remote coax switch if I ever need to put anything more online. But for now, that's all I'm using. Been using it sort of the cheater, poor man way, and it's easy enough to fix if we ever need to move out. I mean, the hole is not so big that you can't put a switch plate, just a blank, no holes in a switch plate over the inside, and easy enough to put something on the outside. So, works real well for me. WDAQCN and 7IVV, go ahead.
All right, thanks for that, Rich. Well, you can always yank the pipe out and make it a 4-inch hole, and then you'll have room. A very important advice there. Don't let the XYLC like that one. You gave me a good chuckle with that. How about Kevin, W4RKU, WD8QCN. How are you tonight, and what do you do for cables?
WD8QCN, W4RKU, in the net. Good evening. Thanks for doing the net tonight, Steve.
Currently what I'm doing is, just because of the way the house is laid up, the room that my radio is in, up at my nephew's, is has a attic access panel. So I just go up into the attic, and then we drill this a hole at the peak of the roof. Sometimes you can use a vent as well, but that was the way I've run mine. At the apartment I do, like Justin is now, I got a bunch of RG-174. Got a few of those running under the door to the balcony. I have used heating vent ducts to the races for those. I have used, what's the other thing I've done? What did I do down there? I can't remember. One time I ran it underneath a locked utility cabinet in an apartment. And then my one house in Stafford, while it was being built, drilled some holes and ran some pull strings through it before it was built. But once the framing was up, so that came in handy too. I've shared most of my ideas with Justin one-on-one, but those are just some of the things I've done. WDE, QCN, W4, RKU, VectorNet.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that. You had to be a little cautious with that RG-174. That stuff's pretty lossy and won't handle a whole lot of power, so don't melt it. As far as having the unfinished bits in the house, that's an interesting point. I do have like a couple of unfinished walls in my basement, one in the ham shack here and one over in the laundry room, and that kind of enables me to pull cables down from the attic. So if you have in attic antennas, following other cables down into the basement or other parts of the house, the utility room, or fanning out from there would be a great way to do it, and then following along the beams into other rooms is a good way to handle that. So some of my cables do run that way. I've particularly got some Ethernet cables routed that direction. So that's another idea. Thanks for that one. Let's see. I think I heard John in there, AK4GG. How about you, John? How are you tonight? And what advice would you offer on routing cables in and out of the house?
Yeah, Roger, WD8QCN, it's AK4GG. Yeah, I've got a fairly tippy arrangement here, so pretty envious of Bob. He's managed to move into something a bit more permanent, but I'm still temporary. I've got pretty much the three transceivers set up in the entertainment room, HF 70 centimeters and 2 meters. But I'm the open door policy, so I open the door, make the connections, go through the net, and then disconnect it, and I'll put it all outside again in little pill boxes, plastic pill boxes for waterproofing. So I had no problem with the electrical storm that passed through. So my two UHF VHF Yagis are mounted on a metal pole. There's no lightning protection at all on them. There's no grounding on them. There's no grounds on the coaxes, so I'm always listening for the thunderclouds to be disappearing into the distance before I get on onto the radios. Eventually I'll progress to actually having a ham shack and have something a bit more permanent, but it's what I do at the moment. Back to the net, WD8QCN, AK4GG.
All right, thanks for that, John. This is WD8QCN with the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net. Moving down to KY4OP. Nick, go ahead.
This is KY4OP. Coming over Echo Link while driving back from Hambention, so my apologies if the audio is poor, but staying hands-free. As far as coax into the ham shack at home, mine is a basement station that I needed to get through a brick wall, and the windows were not an option for a lot of the window panes, because rather than going up or down they're a tilt style, so you can't just put a board in there or one of the pass-through panels. So you guys can check out my, I think I have a picture of it on my QRZ, but I got a cable, like a cable company entry box off of Amazon, and rented a rotary hammer drill, drilled a pass-through hole into the basement, and then put that panel up there. The elbow idea that I, with the PVC, would also be a good idea. I had to do that because we're in a wooded area that any type of opening like that is inviting to critters that I don't want in my basement. So I got a waterproof cable box, and that's got foam on the bottom of it so that the cable fits snugly in that and doesn't leave a lot of space for anything to crawl or slither up in. Like I said, don't know how my audio is, but if you look on my QRZ page, I think there's a picture up there still of the panel that I built, and that's got the lightning protectors and is connected to the perimeter ground. So, with that, I'll turn it back over to Net Control. This is KY4OP.
Good. Thanks, Nick, and I hope you had a great time down at the hamvention there. Drive safe, especially in the rain. Let's see, Bob, KN4SPL was in and out. Next is Randall, WB7RAV.
This is WB7RAV. Mine's going to be easy. I did what Nick did. Saw somebody else on a QRZ.com page with a much more expensive utility box, and talking to him, Nick, to it at a meeting, he said he did the same thing, and so I bought the box and did the same thing. I'm on the second floor. Into the shack, and just I've got five cables stuffed through the tube right now. I got a little bit more room for a couple more antennas if I need to, but other than that, everything's working well, and it's working out fine for me. WB7RAV, back to net, nothing else.
Thanks, Randall. And I think Charlie KO4VNZ was in there, in and out also. Thank you for checking in, and Bob as well. Let's see. I'll take one more call for additional check-ins here before we go back for Rich's additional. Any other check-ins for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net, please call WV8QCN now.
This is K1RA.
W8BT.
That acknowledges K1RA and W8BT. Go ahead, Rich, K1RA.
Andy.
Andy.
Hey, Steve. How's it going? Good evening to everyone. Good to hear Nick on the road back. Hope he makes it back safely. I just got back from Dayton, Xenia, convention about an hour ago. Left at 7 a.m. this morning. Got in at 7 p.m. It was a long road with carrying about 2,000 pounds worth of trailer behind us. It was a good event. It was good to see Nick and Bree. They stopped by Directive Systems and Engineering. We have five spaces there by Gate 1. And the other FARA members saw N2NAR and Mike K4RRU, as well as a few ERC members and some other friends from my days up in New England. As far as running cables in, I kind of do the hole through the wall. I have a shack off behind the garage, so cables kind of come in along with the ground wire at floor level. And as far as my dad's setup, I've actually got a number of pictures of both the box outside under the deck and the way he routes it through the above the drop ceiling. So might be good for some of us here who have installation actually to share some pictures. And maybe between Kevin and the photos site we have on our Google domain, storage, maybe we can start sharing some of these pictures rather than trying to describe them in words. A little difficult. Anyway, that's about it from here. Steve, back to that. K1RA.
Sandy, there was quite a bit of hum on your signal there. Don't know what you're plugged into at the moment, but something's causing a bit of additional noise. Let's see, over to Travis, W8BT. How are you tonight? And what interesting ideas do you have for cable ingress?
Good evening, Steve, and all of that. This is W8BT. I don't have much to add on top of what everybody else has said. although mine currently, the coax from my ZS6BKW, and I have one extra when I had a 160 inverter in L. So I have two pieces of RG8X. They're just basically fished through a crack in the foundation of our old 1950s house my great-grandparents built. And they come up through the floor of my bedroom and then through the wall into my shack, along with my shack ground wire. Because the floor in my bedroom has the original hardwood flooring in the house, so I didn't want to drill through that. But anyway, I am going to probably put a box out here on the deck and come straight into the ham shack eventually once I get some stuff moved around. But you know, it's no lightning protection, so I do disconnect the antennas. Other than I do have an old telephone box that I took the guts out of and put a piece of copper pipe that I straightened out and drilled some holes in for some barrel connectors, so I do at least have some grounding on the coax before it, the shield before it enters the house. I guess that's about it for me. Oh, I did want to mention one thing. I was watching some YouTube videos from Jim W6LG on YouTube. And he is not a believer in the whole RF ground thing. If you search W6LG and the RF ground, it's kind of got some interesting perspectives on that as far as it relates to building codes and everything, at least in California anyway. He was a building inspector, so maybe you guys might want to look that up. And maybe I'll share that link on Justin's Groups I.O. post. But anyway, that's it. Back to net, W8BT.
All right, thanks for that, Travis. And let's take it back up to Rich, K1HTV. You had some additional ideas for control cables.
Hey, Steve. This is K1HTV in Amosville, where the rain has finally stopped. Things have gotten calm again. Okay, regarding cables other than coax cables, first, Travis' idea of using an old telco box with UHF connectors connected to the side, like barrel connectors. Good thing to do is make sure you tie that whole box to a good ground, drive a good ground rod in, and make sure that ground rod is tied to the house ground, your AC ground as well. You need everything at the same potential. Mine is, as probably you've all heard, a perimeter ground. So the tower connects to the perimeter ground on the west side, the shack ground on the north side, and the AC commercial ground on the east side, and it goes in around the perimeter ground, goes around the entire house. I do not ever disconnect any antennas, and I've got lots of them. They all come in through switch boxes. I used to have a lot of cables coming in individually. Now I have an RCS 10 relay box in the east field, which can switch as many as 8 antennas. It connects in its control cable. Come into the shack. Now, the control cables, in the case of the RCS 10 box, I have purchased a Cat 5 gas discharge tube inside eight little tubes in there to protect those cables, eight wires, of which I'm only using 4 in that case. But you can buy they're in a plastic box. They have Ethernet connectors on them. The Cat 5, you know, the 8-pin connectors, you can use those for control purposes. Then you ground that to your house ground. Where the before I added anything to protect control cables, I had a rotator cable on the porch, a 6-meter beam on the porch, and coax coming in without going in through the box, and the cable for the rotator coming in without going through any kind of protection. And this is many years ago, maybe about over 10 years ago. Took a nearby lightning hit. It wasn't a direct hit, but it was enough to fry the Elecraft SWR bridge, a number of ICs in it. Since then, that cable, the coax cable, does enter through the coax box. That beam is no longer there. Travis has it. But that coax goes in through the box, and also the control cable for the rotator, which is still out there, goes in through another box, which has a telephone connection block to it. Inside of that, you might see some of these at some of the ham fests, but they have dual gas discharge tubes, sort of plug-in ones. They plug in, and there are quite a few wires there, and a lot of the cables that I have in for either rotator or control cables go through one of those devices, then they go into the house. And of course, the ground bus within it is connected to the house ground or to the perimeter ground. So it's important, you know, I would not put the coax directly into the house without first at least grounding the shield. And you do that through some sort of a box, a metal box, which is connected to a ground. And then you, you know, there's no protection from a direct hit, but you definitely lessen the chances of getting some damage from induced lightning strike voltages into the coax cable and into the shack. So you got to have a good ground and try to, as well as the coax being grounded, use some sort of gas discharge tubes on the control cables. In the shack, there's since everything for HF is now coming in on one cable, all the switching is done outside remotely, that particular cable also has its own GDT, which is on a T connector, UHF T connector, and plugged into that extra end of the T. One is the antenna. The other side, I have put a screw connector, a UHF PL259, inside of it. There are gas discharge tubes, in this case two of them, which allows me to run even with a 4-to-1 SWR without it arcing. So you gotta make sure you design it properly. But that's for in case anything else leaks in, or as far as a strike from a lightning, nearby lightning. That's it for now. Back to that control, K1HTV.
Big stuff, Rich. Thanks for that. I'd love to get you to post some pictures. Sounds like a good system. All right, one last call for any additional check-ins tonight. For the RF Sunday Night Technical Service Net, please call WD8QCN.
W8BT, recheck.
Kilo Delta 4 Romeo Echo Echo, Simmons Springfield.
KJ7APV, no comment.
KO4RW, no comment.
KD4REE, missed the last one, please call again.
KO4RBW, no comment.
Okay, let's go to KD4REE. How are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just waiting for the thunder to go away. Apparently there was a shell near 495, that's all. Just been listening to your comments about bringing in coax cable inside. So I think MSK or someone makes under the window pane glass mounts or wooden mounts you put underneath the windowsill above the frame so you can mount the coax without drilling any holes. So that's another idea. And I think Comet makes a twin lead coax that we could put under the sill as well and just close the window over it. But I think it's limited to 50 watts or something like that. That might be useful for CV radio or something. That's all I have. I don't want to hold up the net any longer, so I'll turn it back to you and catch everyone next week. 73 all from KD4RUE.
Thanks for that, Sim. Yeah, I forgot about the window through the glass couplers, too. I think those only work at certain frequency ranges and are, you know, kind of power limited. So, yeah, good idea there. And thanks for that, Sim. KO4RBW's next. David, go ahead.
Hey, folks. No voice tonight, so no comment from KO4RBW. Back to that.
I had you checked in. Thanks for spending the time with us here tonight. And there was one other station called, and I missed the call while I was trying to catch up on NetLogger here. There was any other station I missed, please call WD8QCN. Okay, back to Travis for a recheck. W8BT, go ahead.
Hey, good evening again, Steve, and all on the net. Just W8BT. I think it was Becca, KJ7APV, was in with no comment. I just wanted to say my telco box where the shields are grounded, that is directly grounded right to the it's right below the house electrical entry panel, so it is connected right to that ground rod, and I've got a half of a perimeter ground to the other side of the house, but I've got our house is one floor, so it takes up a large area, and that's a lot more ground rods to drive to get all the way around the whole perimeter, but everything is bonded with ground rods at least every 10 feet or so, or, well, they might be copper pipes, but I'm going to call them ground rods. Anyway, back to Ned. That's it from me. W8BT.
Hey, thanks, Travis. Acknowledge Becca checking in and out also. Thanks for that. And let's see, as far as bonding and so forth, are your connections driven below the frost line?
I would say in Virginia, yes, they are below the frost line. If I was up in northern Maine or Canada, they probably not would be.
Roger that. Yes, it definitely depends on where in the world you are. All right. Thanks again, Travis. And thanks, everyone, for checking in tonight. I think that's the end of our list. Hearing no additional, this is WD8QCN. Net Control for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net. And I thank everyone for joining us tonight. If you'd like further information regarding tonight's discussion or any information on FARA, please see our website at w4va.org or send an email to faranet@w4va.org. This is WD8QCN closing the FARA Net and returning the repeater to normal amateur use. Thanks again for everyone who joined us tonight, and have a great evening.
NB3A, NB3A, K1HTV, still there, Justin?
Yeah, go ahead, Rich, NB3A.
Hopefully got some ideas from that. I'm curious where your long wire comes in to the building. Do you have a ground rod right at that point at the very base of it so you can ground at least the coax before it hits the house, or are you just coming directly in and taking your chances?
I come in and I disconnect every time there's a storm. Or anything remotely close to a storm. So, yeah, right now I can get ground rods around. The main service ground is about halfway up the back of the house's deck. So, 16 feet from that, I'd put another 8-foot rod. And I have, like, the attachments and the hammer drill to do that. from work, it's just, so, yeah, I probably need to do that. Or you can with HTV and NB3A.
Would be a good idea. And then you probably wouldn't have to disconnect it every time. Especially if you're not there, what do you do? I guess you could, I think Harv has, K2PI has an automatic disconnect. I thought he talked about, which it actually disconnects the cable, the coax cables. There are some commercial devices available. And I guess you could also attach it to a lightning sensor, which would then trigger it to that state where it's protecting it. But I say mine are always on, always connected. The only thing I do is you do use the MFJ 1708 SDR to when I feed the SDRs, the red Matthias, when I key the transmitter, it will automatically protect it. Plus, there's a separate another separate relay triggered from the push to talk. So it's the SDRs are protected. The red Matthias have not failed because of lightning, or neither have the preamps because of lightning. Knock on wood so far, the combination of the perimeter ground and the grounding techniques and everything going into the box, coming into the shack, being a ground potential, at least the signal voltages induced into the shield, the common mode one voltages, are shunted to a pretty decent ground system. But you never know, as you say, direct hit and boom. Lots of damage. Even the new tower, I have connected a number 6 wire between the tower and the perimeter ground. And at the base of the tower, there are 3 ground rods. The new tower, 3 ground rods connected to the 3 legs of the tower. I have not CAD welded them. I probably should take the time and pay the money to get it CAD welded. I did not CAD weld any of the other ground rods. So I would imagine after number of years, probably should dig them up. Where the ground rods were, I did put plastic caps, dome caps over the ground rods. Actually, the ground rods were down below. The caps were at ground level. and some of them have disappeared. So I know where some of the ground rods are, but other ones I'd have to probably use a metal detector to find it, see if the connections are still good. NV3A, K1HTV.
Yeah, okay, real good. I was wondering if you'd done that. So did you also ground, or like, did you, you've got three rods there. Is your coax bonded to the grounding system at the base of the tower, in addition to being bonded in closer to the house?
I've got a piece of angle aluminum. I think it's 2 inch by 1 inch. Maybe it's 2 inch by 2 inch. Anyway, in it I've drilled a number of holes which will accept either N barrels or UHF barrels, and a number of those are connected at about 2 feet above the ground or a foot above the ground. Cables that come off the tower, the temporary ones, the permanent ones, there's probably only eventually going to be two, one from the switch box, one from the 6 meter. But right now I've got a number of cables coming down. And they go into the UHF barrels, and actually, instead of the barrel, I'm using a gas discharge tube for those two, and they're connected right to that angle. And there, that angle, of course, is attached to the tower, and which is connected to the three ground rods. So, yes, they are all effectively grounded at the tower. If you want to do it right, which you ground the coax cables at the top end as well. You ground the cable at the top and the bottom. Mine is just the case at the bottom, so. But that takes even more work, and did not do that. NV3A, K1HTV.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I guess bonding at the top also totally makes the shield become part of the tower. One thing that Jason brought to my attention is the fact that if, like, my wire antenna took a hit, it would just vaporize. Like, everything is going to be destroyed anyway because it would be a direct hit. But there's nothing left. But at least with a tower, it's probably enough metal to absorb the hit into the rods that you have at the bottom. So, obviously, I don't have that, but I bought a 10-foot piece of 2-inch EMT to add to the top of my thing here so that I can get the 6-meter halo up and a duplexer. And I ordered a pipe-to-pipe clamp, one of the Comscope things, which was really upsetting because I couldn't even tell you how many of those things I've thrown into the steel pile at work. But I ordered one of those on eBay to get this mast on the top of the pneumatic system that I have at the house to hopefully I'll be on 6-meter sideband sometime before the end of next week. But that begs the whole, like, coax ingress question. You know, there's some options. I had some options that I've seen float through at work that have been, like, pretty solid, like compression and rubber around kind of standard sizes, like 400, half inch, et cetera. What else was I going to say? Yeah, I have the little graphite jig for doing the cad weld on 3/8, I think, 3/8 inch ground rods, and we had, like, a whole pallet, so, like, 5,000 to 10,000 of the charges to do that. I don't know what happened to it. I have to find that and see about doing it. I would be very curious to see how your underground, non-exothermically welded grounding, like, those connections have survived since you put them in. Anyway, that's all I got. Over to you, K1HTV and B3A.
B3A, K1HTV. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I did coat them liberally with a grease made for copper. Is there a copper rods, copper-plated rods, and also bronze eye-type, pointy-type connections where you fit it over the rod and then put the wire and tighten it down real good. So those are liberally coated with that. It's kind of like, it looks like a copper paste. Picked it up at one of the electrical shops. So those hopefully will prevent oxidation. But, you know, when they're underground and water and everything else, in time things happen. Okay, and having all that those charges, boy, it would be great if you can find them and bond things that way. Yeah, when the if you have something you can put on the roof, well, I would sure run a number 6 wire from the bottom of the pipe straight down as vertical as you can, or along the roof and then vertically down to a good ground, and then make sure that that ground is connected to the other grounds, so you're not, everything's the same potential.
The National Weather Service has cleared all watches, warnings, and advisories.
All right, yeah, sounds good, Rich. I am going to eat dinner and, yeah, do that. I put a small rod in there. I probably should put like a ring around to bond the shield to the thing at the bottom of where the transformer is at the bottom of the antenna. It blew off. We had a windstorm and it knocked. There was so much bouncing going around that it knocked the thing off of the rod that I had. Anyway, I'll say 7-3 for now and have a good evening. And we'll talk probably later this week. 7-3, this is NP3A, and I'll be clear.
Kilo Justin, K1HTV, clear.
Kilo Yankee 4 Oscar Papa disconnected.